We're looking, continuing to look through our story as we go through the Bible. Last week, the adults talked about all the judges, not the judges with curly hair and wigs on, but the judges with swords and shields and things. The judges who helped bring peace for a bit, but then the people went away and they all think bad things, but then another judge came. And eventually, the people thought, we don't want all these judges. They're not working. We want a king. And God said to them, why do you want a king? I'm your king. And they went, but we want a king because everyone else has a king. That's a challenge. Today, I was thinking that there's some really big questions that David asks us. And a bit of Goliath. But these big questions, and that's not a question that I even put on there. So Chris isn't going to find it on the PowerPoint. Because it's first of all a big question. What are some of the things that you want? What? No, go back. You're not going to find it on the PowerPoint. Don't click. Right. What are some of the things that you want because everyone else wants? Oh, because everyone else has got one. Everyone else has got one of these. So I want that. And God says, no, I can provide you that. But do we go for what everyone else wants? That's a big, big question, isn't it? How many things have you bought or sought or done simply because everyone else is doing it? But anyway, the people of God said, yeah, we know, God, that you're our king, but we really want one. We want one that we can see and we can serve. And so God eventually sort of said, okay, you can have a king. And so they started to have this king, and it was okay for a bit, and then it wasn't. It started to go a little bit bad. And God said, oh, hang on, we need a better king. And so he started to call David. And David was someone who was part of a family of lots of sons, seven sons, and he was the smallest and he was the least significant. And he wasn't, you know, anything to be known for. But then let's pick up as we read from 1 Samuel 17, because we've had the bit of, in 1 Samuel 16, David has sort of been chosen because, he's been chosen by Samuel. But here we go. This is the start of the story of Goliath. We sung about it, and it was one line in the song, wasn't it? You know, one line, Goliath. David brought Goliath, fooled Goliath, fought Goliath, and he won. That's how you can say it in six words. But there's a bit more in the Bible about what happened. So it starts off in verse 16. For 40 days, the Philistine, Goliath, came forward and stood there morning and evening and took his stand. Yeah, he did it for 40 days, morning and evening. I'm trying to get the same translations, and it was difficult to find them. But flick it on, Chris, flick it on. We'll read it from there. Jesse said to his son David, get at least half a bushel, because David was behind, all his brothers had gone fight. Get at least half a bushel of grain that has been cooked. Also get 10 loaves of bread. Take all of it to your brothers. Hurry to the camp where they were fighting the Philistines. Take along these 10 chunks of cheese to the commander of the company. It's a great load he's taking, isn't it? All this thing, 10 chunks of cheese. I don't know how big a chunk is. But anyway, 10 chunks of cheese. Find out how your brothers are doing and bring me back some word about them. They are with Saul and all of the men of Israel. They're in the valley of Elah. They are fighting against the Philistines. Early in the morning, David left his father's flock in the care of a shepherd. He loaded up the food and started out just as Jesse directed. David reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions. The soldiers were shouting the war cry. So the soldiers were shouting the war cry. They had a bit of bravery and courage. Israel and the Philistines were lining up their armies for battle. We're shouting our cry. They're shouting their cry. The armies were facing each other. And David left what he had brought with the man who took care of the supplies. Here are the chunks of cheese. Thank you. Chunks. He ran to... Are they like pineapple chunks, do you reckon? It was that sort of chunks or a bit big. Anyway, he ran to the battle lines and greeted his brothers. As David was talking with them, Goliath stepped forward from his line. Goliath was a mighty Philistine hero from Gath. He again dared someone to fight him. And David heard it. And when Israel's army saw Goliath, all of them ran away from him. That's because they were filled with fear. Wasn't there one more line? Okay, they were filled with fear. Oh, we're going to stop it. We're going to stop it there. They were filled with fear. And do you know how it started? Every morning and every evening, Goliath came down and said that. Yeah, he shouted. And he shouted every morning and every evening. And it's true, isn't it? If we have a big fear, if we have this something that we're scared about, it often hits us, doesn't it? First thing in the morning. And we think, how am I going to get through today? And then we might just manage to get through that day. And just as we're trying to get to sleep, or just in the evening, or it might be in the middle of the night, that big fear comes back. And it's like Goliath is speaking to us with this big fear that we're facing. And the big fear that comes every morning, every evening. Let's be honest this morning. What's your big fear? What's your big fear? It's going to be different for all of us. And some people have a big fear that we would all go, that's really big. Some people might go, well, that's not a big, but it is a big fear for you. Yeah? So what is your big fear? Perhaps I think we've all got something. We've all got something that is a big fear. And we might have managed it. We might have sourced it. It might be a small voice in the morning. Might be a small voice at night. But we all have this big fear. I think it's good to name it. Yeah, sometimes it's good to name that big fear. Because once we, not give it a name like George or something, but you know, let's name it what it is so that we can identify it and we can take it to God. They knew it was Goliath. But let's read on what happened to Goliath, to David and Goliath. So put it back on for us, Chris. Thank you. The men of Israel have been saying, just look at how this man keeps stepping forward. Again and again, he dares Israel to fight him. The king will make the man who kills him very wealthy. He will also give him his daughter to be his wife. He won't require anyone in his family to pay any taxes in Israel. That's like, you know, when you win, if you were to win Britain's Got Talent, you would win all the money and you would get a place. Now, this is more than that. You would win, you know, no taxes for life. Who would like to pay no taxes for life? That's just like, yes. Result, yeah. But so this was what, and his wife, you know. Oh yeah. So David spoke to the men who were standing near him. He asked them, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine?" Well, you just heard, David, didn't you hear? And he said, "David spoke. What will be done for Goliath? He's bringing shame on Israel. What will be done for the one who removes it?" this Philistine isn't even circumcised. He dares the armies of the living God to fight him. Who does he think he is? The men told David what Israel's soldiers had been saying. The men told him what would be done for the man who killed Goliath. David's older brother, Eliab, heard him speaking with the men, so he burned with anger. He asked him, "Why have you come down here? Who did you leave those few sheep in the desert with? I know how proud you are. I know how evil your heart is. The only reason you came down here was to watch the battle." "What have I done now?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He turned away to speak to some other men. He asked them the same question he had asked before, and they gave him the same answer. When David had been chosen, he had been chosen because of his heart, not of his outward appearance, but because of his heart. And now as his brother says to him, "Your heart is just full of evil. Your heart is just full of evil." It's how someone is known. It's how someone is known. How are you known? Let's have a bit of, let's turn to one another. If you don't know someone behind you, in front of you, or if someone's sitting on their own, where have all your family gone? But then turn to someone and say, how are you known? How are you known to others? How would others describe you? Oh, go on. Turn to each other and say hello, first of all. And then how are you known? Are you known as a sporty person, as a footballer, as a musician, as a funny person? Okay. Make sure everyone's had a chance. Make sure everyone's had a chance. Because David was probably someone who wanted to be known for something good. He wanted to be known as a brave shepherd. Yeah? He wanted to be known as a brave shepherd. And it's good to be known for good things. David was also known as a wonderful writer of songs. He was known as a really good friend. He was known as a psalm writer. He was known as a leader. He was known as all those things. But also, he was known as someone who was after God's heart. Yes, some verses that will come up. Thank you. Chris from 1 Kings and Acts, couple from 1 Kings. Yeah, so as Solomon grew older, his wives turned his heart towards other gods. He didn't follow the Lord his God with all his heart. He wasn't like his father David, because David followed God with all his heart. That was how he was known in Chapter 15 of 1 Kings. David, I love the way the Bible is honest. David had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He had kept all of the Lord's commands. He had obeyed them all the days of his life. But he hadn't obeyed the Lord in the case of Uriah the Hittite. Yeah, we don't talk about that. No, we do talk about it, because he still did that rather nasty thing with Uriah the Hittite when he got him killed so he could be with his wife and stuff like that. Not good stuff that he did. But if we go back to the first bit of that verse, he had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Yeah, and then in Acts 13, when they're in when Peter, or I think when Paul, rather, is describing what David is like, God removed him and made David their king. God removed Saul and made David their king. Here is God's witness about him. David, son of Jesse, is a man dear to my heart. He will do everything I want him to do. He's a man after God's heart. How do you want to be known? That's how you, we just talked with one another about how you are known. And hopefully those things are really good. They're not bad things, hopefully, what you shared with one another. But how do you want to be known? This is in on the PowerPoint, Chris. This is our first question. How do you want to be known? Do you want to be known as someone who is after God's heart? Do you want to be known as someone who puts God's interests first? Do you want to be known as someone who loves others in the same way that Jesus does? They're the most important things to be known. Yeah, it's great to be known as a musician. It's great to be known as a sports person. It's great to be known as a good friend. It's great to be known as someone who writes great things. It's great to be known as someone who's been through loads of difficulties. It's tough to know that, but it's, you know, that you're still surviving through all those difficulties. But on top of all those things, the most important thing, how are you known? Even if someone, like a nasty brother, says, yeah, you've just got evil in your heart because they're jealous or whatever. But how do you really want to be known? Yeah, turn to the person next to you now and say, how do you really want to be known? How do you really want to be known? Say to each other, be honest, be hopeful, be, you know, with a desire. How do you want to be known? What do you want to be known as? Yeah, you've heard what someone else has said to you, hopefully. Be prayerful for them, yeah? Now, you know, have this as a prayer, as you pray for your friend, your partner, your, you know, someone you've just met. Pray for them, because it's not good enough saying, I want to be known as someone who loves others. I need to be someone who does love others. Yeah, I want to be known as someone who puts God first. Yeah, I do. I'd love it if there's someone praying for me to help me do that. And he's perhaps even going to ask me next week, how are you doing? Have you put others first? Have you put God first? Yeah, let's support one another. But then the story continues. Let's go back to the Bible, Chris. This is a great story, lots of different things. in it. And before we get to the next question, someone heard what David said and reported it to Saul. Someone heard that David was going, what's the prize? He was asking everyone, what's the prize? And someone heard what David had said and reported it to Saul. David said to Saul, don't let anyone lose hope because of that Philistine. So David was someone who was fully passionate, and he was after God's heart. Don't let anyone lose hope because of that Philistine. I'll go out and fight him. Saul replied, you aren't able to go out there and fight that Philistine. You are too young. He's been a fighting man ever since he was a boy. But David said to Saul, I've been taking care of my father's sheep. Sometimes a lion or a bear would come and carry off a sheep from the flock. Then I would go after it and hit it. I would save the sheep it was carrying in its mouth. If it turned around to attack me, I would grab hold of its hair. I would strike it. I would strike it down and kill it. Yeah. In fact, I've killed both a lion and a bear. How many people do you reckon David had told he'd killed a lion and a bear? I reckon it was every Christmas, Oh, no, there wasn't that around then, was there? Right. I've killed a lion and a bear. I'll do the same thing to this Philistine. He isn't even circumcised. He has dared the enemies of the living God. He has dared the armies of the living God to fight him. The Lord saved me from the paw of the lion. He saved me from the paw of the bear. And he'll save me from the powerful hand of this Philistine too. Saul said to David, go, and may the Lord be with you. Yeah. It's another question, I think, from David. Is what are we willing to stand up for? Yeah, what are we willing to stand up for? Because he recognized that that Goliath was saying something bad about God's people. He was humiliating God's people. He was stopping God's people. He was wanting to come against God's people. And so he said, no, I don't want that to happen. It is not right that God's people are living in fear. It's not right that God's people are just not getting anything. So I'm going to do something about it. Are you willing to take a stand? And sometimes you might think, I'm too young. That's exactly what everyone said to David. You're too young. Are you willing to take a stand? You are. Good. Thanks, Adama. Yeah? Are you willing to take a stand? And some of you are thinking, well, I'm too old. No, that doesn't get you out of it either, I'm afraid. Yeah? Because what will you take a stand for? Yeah, what is God calling you to take a stand for something? I like this. It seems to be working. Turn to the person next to you and say, what will you take a stand for? Or what do you think God is wanting you to take a stand for? You know, where you take a stand and you say, no, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to stand up against that because I don't agree with it. I don't think that's right. Ooh. Hopefully you can stand up and say, I'm for this, perhaps. You want to not stand up against something, stand up for something. Yeah, what can you stand up for to say this is important? Ooh. Well, it's tough, isn't it? I'm getting honest now. Okay, let's stop you there. But hopefully now, I don't want anyone saying I don't have anything to pray for this week, because now you can pray for your friend, your partner, the person you've just met. You can pray for them about what they want to be, yeah, what they want to be known for. You can pray for them what they're going to stand for. Yeah, stand for or stand against, but what they're going to stand for. Yeah, because wouldn't it be good if we were a community of people who were wanting to be known as God's, as seeking after God's heart? Wouldn't it be known if we were known as a group of people who were standing for things, standing for the rights of whatever it is, standing for, maybe standing against, but hopefully standing for. Let's go back to the story, because we'll go on through the story quickly. This is the bit that we perhaps know a bit more as David is getting ready, and Saul has said, yeah, go and fight him. So Saul dressed David in his own military clothes. He put a coat of armor on him. He put a bronze helmet on his head. David put on Saul's sword over his clothes. He walked around for a while in all of that armor because he wasn't used to it. I can't go there in all of this armor. He was a young man. He was a young boy. He was a boy. And this is a grown man's armor. I'm not used to it. It makes me fall over. It makes me stumble. He takes it off. If you're fighting an enemy, if you're fighting this big fear, it's so easy. Just think, what have other people done? Just try and listen to someone else or put on someone else's way. But God says, no, I've got you. I'm going to be with you. You don't need all those other things, what the world has. Trust me. I'm not used to it. David picked up his wooden staff. He went down to a stream and chose 5 smooth stones. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was going to fire a stone at someone, I would fire one with jagged edges. But anyway, he chose 5 smooth stones. He put them in the pocket of his shepherd's bag. Then he took his sling. He took his sling in his hand and approached Goliath. At that same time, the Philistine kept coming closer to David. The man who was carrying Goliath's shield walked along in front of him. That would be so good, wouldn't it? Just to have, come, can just walk with your shield, with my shield. I don't want to carry it. Just walk in front of me, please, slave. This was Goliath. Goliath looked David over. He saw how young he was. He also saw how tanned and handsome he was. Oh, Goliath. I didn't know you had such feelings. I love little bits like that in the Bible. He saw how tanned and handsome he was. And he hated him. It's great, isn't it? That's not an instruction to hate people who are tanned and handsome in life, generally. Don't do that. Right, he said to David, why are you coming at me with sticks? Do you think I'm only a dog? The Philistine called down curses on David in the name of his God. Come over here, he said. I'll feed your body to the birds of the air. I'll feed it to the wild animals. David said to Goliath, you are coming to fight against me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord who rules over all. He is the God of the armies of Israel. He's the one you have dared to fight against. This very day, the Lord will hand you over to me. I'll strike you down. I'll cut your head off. This very day, I'll feed the bodies of the Philistine army to the birds of the air. I'll feed them to the wild animals. Then the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. The Lord doesn't save by using a sword or a spear, and everyone who's here will know it. The battle belongs to the Lord. He will hand all of you over to us. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly to the battle line to meet him. He reached into his bag. He took out a stone. He put it in his sling. He slung it at Goliath. The stone hit him on the forehead and sank into it. He fell to the ground on his face. So David won the fight against Goliath with a sling and a stone. He struck the Philistine down and killed him. He did it without even using a sword. Such a good story. It's one that we know so well. Yeah, we know the story of David and Goliath. We know that, you know, David and Goliath is used, you know, when a small team are playing a big team, when a small country are, you know, are having a competition against a big country. It's David against Goliath. Yeah, we know that. Or it might be someone says, yeah, oh, it hit me between the eyes. Yeah, that comes from this story, that phrase. Yeah, because we know this story of David and Goliath. David, let's have a fast forward of what David did. David won this battle. He became well known. He eventually became king. He became king, and things were good. He was successful. He brought all the nations together. He established Jerusalem, the city of God. He established Jerusalem as a place that was the place where God could be and could shine brightly for God. The whole nation was united. All the 12 tribes were united, and there was peace. Everything was going well. Let's think about Jesus. Let's think about Jesus. Because David used a stone. Jesus rolled away a stone and beat not Goliath, but beat sin and death. Yeah, how about those two for big enemies? Much bigger than Goliath. Jesus beat sin and death, and he slaughtered them and killed them. And then Jesus establishes his kingdom, and there's peace available for all. Yeah, David or Jesus just did what David did, but in a much bigger scale. And from David and Jesus, we can learn, can't we, that our final question really, what are we scared of? Why do we know that we're never alone? Yeah, why should go back to that big fear you had at the beginning? Yeah, that big fear. Yeah, it is a big fear if you're on your own. It's a big fear if you're on your own, but you're not on your own. As it says in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. I will trust in God. Yet if you're facing fear, and you wake up with fear, why not read those verses from Psalm 27, 1 to 3, Psalm 27, 1 to 3, to say, I will be confident because God is with me. I will be confident because God will defeat my enemy. Yeah, that big fear is not big when God is bigger. Yeah, he's not big when God is bigger. Psalm 23, familiar words in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Familiar words from Christmas. For to us a child is born. To us a son will be given. He will rule over us, and he will be called Wonderful Advisor and Mighty God. He will also be called Father who lives forever and Prince of Peace. Prince who brings peace. That's the God who we serve. in another verse in Isaiah, you will give perfect peace to anyone who commits himself to be faithful to you. That's because he trusts in you. So your big fear, and it is a big fear, I know of some of the big fears that you have, and I don't know many. I know the big fears that I have. And do I say, fear, you're coming against the Lord's armies. You're coming against the Lord's armies. And the Lord's armies are bigger than you. The Lord's armies will destroy you. Are you willing to say, big fear, I know God is with me. You have no power over me.